attention because we're starting to think fantasy football at about this point anyway. So we will talk with him. We'll get an update and a preview of the Girls State Tennis Tournament, which will get underway. One of those venues here in Cedar Rapids coming up tomorrow. We'll do that with our friend Randy Krejci. We will do that on the program today as well. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, KGYM. Proud and pleased to make another Lunchbox Heroes appearance. Lunchbox Heroes presented by Built by Pros. Our friends Tyler Ryder and Todd Brommelkamp, Alex Kuhn, other members of the KGYM and KZIA family. At the Amazing Space site at Indian Creek Nature Center today, understand from the guys that went well. Carol Kelly reporting that it was a fine event, well received. We were able to feed and converse with many of the workers there, hand out some prizes. And as we do every week, it's a terrific program.
They had great weather today, too. Absolutely beautiful outside today.
I saw Ryder mopping his brow when I walked in. A little warm.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I think it's 78 degrees. Beautiful. Beautiful sunshine outside. That's Chamber of Commerce weather. That's San Diego weather, Mark, with a little less humidity.
It is. But you'll hear more about that appearance on the Afternoon Players Club from 4 to 7.
Yep, that'll be coming up in just a little bit. On our program today, before 4 o'clock, we've got another four-pack of tickets for you out there to win. And one of our lucky listeners will get it to the Thursday, June 9th game at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Fields. Cedar Rapids Colonels taking on the Kane County Cougars that night at 6:35. It's a Z102.9 Thirsty Thursday. The old kegerator will be out there. And you've got $2 12-ounce regular draft beers, 20-ounce bottle of soda. They are all just $2 all game long. And all the tips that night are going to be going to the Cedar Rapids Animal Care and Control. We've got those tickets to give away, and we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Well, Mark, we've got, as we mentioned, news coming out of the Big Ten. Actually, more news, because this actually broke, I think, late last week, just ahead of the Memorial Day weekend. The University of Minnesota wrestling program, which has been one of the top dogs as far as Big Ten wrestling, really collegiate wrestling in Division I for a long, long time. Jay Robinson up there, done a tremendous job getting that program to the top. It is a popular program up there. They put great crowds in Williams Arena, especially when Iowa comes up there, when they just about sell out the old barn. But news came out last week, and it wasn't good news, and now we know a little bit more about it. A little background, if you would, for people that have not heard about what is going on up in Minneapolis.
Well, the story broke last weekend. Star Tribune in Minneapolis, among others, reporting the news that the University of Minnesota has opened its own investigation into the wrestling program. Campus police investigating a team member's disputed allegation that Jay Robinson covered up his wrestler's sale and use of the anti-anxiety drug Xanax. One wrestler speaking on a condition of anonymity, I hate that, but nevertheless, the Star Tribune sourcing that story from this one wrestler anonymously, says that Robinson collected hundreds of Xanax pills from members of the team without reporting the issue to police or the university. And apparently the wrestlers, as the allegation goes, not only using but selling the Xanax pills. And Robinson apparently said, listen, guys, you write me a one-page essay about this and why you shouldn't have done it and why you'll never do it again and we'll never hear anything more about this. The other side of the story is the attorney and agent for Robinson issued a statement denying a cover-up by Robinson and said that Robinson had informed athletic department superiors, quote-unquote, through multiple channels earlier this year. As a result, Jay Robinson has been suspended as the head coach of the University of Minnesota wrestling team.
He's going to be on paid leave, and so he is out as far as being in the office every day right now, but he is still being paid by the university. I'm not sure Jay Robinson's going to survive as a head wrestling coach at Minnesota through this. From what going back to what they did, yes. And then what he did to try to remedy the situation, there's no way he can stay there, Kenny.
Boy, if half the allegations are true, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I can't imagine this happening, and Jay Robinson staying up there. And then what's going to happen, obviously, the second thought is what's going to happen to Minnesota wrestling, how far it's going to drop at that point. The Big Ten is ultra-competitive. There's no league like the Big Ten as far as collegiate wrestling is concerned. Minnesota's already in the last couple seasons been passed by teams. I mean, Ohio State, you probably got to think the Buckeyes are a little level higher than the Gophers are right now. Penn State is certainly higher than the Gophers. Iowa's higher than the Gophers are right now. Can a Nebraska leapfrog them? Maybe an Illinois. Can they leapfrog them?
Mark Ironside, a wrestling expert, says Rutgers is the next big team.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Star Tribune reporting that Robinson collected about 1,400 pills of Xanax. This is according, once again, to the one wrestler who spoke to the Star Tribune anonymously last Wednesday. And a source at one point said four teammates had a stash of 2,500 Xanax pills that they obtained in the mail from a former teammate and were selling from the 17th Avenue Hall dormitory on campus. The source said it was $5 a pill for anyone on the wrestling team.
Yeah.
$8 a pill for anyone else.
Yeah. More to come off of that story, certainly. But like I said, I'm not sure Jay Robinson will be able to stay on as Minnesota wrestling coach. But we shall see. Just when you thought the ugliness couldn't, just when you thought the pool couldn't lose any more water down in Waco, they managed to dip a little bit more out with Ken Starr. As coming out today, he's resigned, I believe, as what, chancellor? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Of Baylor University. Went out, though, saying that one of the reasons why they didn't investigate this totally was that 10 of these assaults allegedly were off campus. Well, that is not true. It's a blatant, flat-out lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so just another layer of the onion goes out of here with that situation that gets uglier and uglier. I wish we had good things to talk about today in the world of college athletics.
Yeah, it certainly unraveled at Baylor. They brought in a new head coach, and they're going to have to replace a whole lot of other people in regards to this situation, and it's hardly done. Hardly done. I mean,
this thing's going to last for a long time.
The allegations are still out there and being investigated. So, yeah, Kenneth Starr of Bill Clinton investigation fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
319-366-1600. If you'd like to comment, that's the Guppies on the Go text line. When you're on the go, we want to know what you think. With the Guppies on the Go text line, you can also reach us via the phone line. Same number, 319-366-1600. We do have some good news on the collegiate front. The College Football Hall of Fame ballot is back out. Endless group of athletes, terrific athletes, and I'm not sure how you take a list of maybe 75 or so in the university division of this and pare it down, but they're going to try to do that. Andre Tippett still on the ballot from the University of Iowa. Tim Dwight now on the ballot for the University of Iowa. And on the division side, which is colleges and 1AA schools, Carl Boyd still on there for the University of Northern Iowa. So he is on the ballot once again. Terrific running back for the UNI Panthers. I believe he was there during the Daryl Mudra era up there in Cedar Falls. So Iowa Wesleyan player, a Central Dutch on their national championship teams as well as on the division team.
Where's the Morningside players, Joel and Muscatine? Come on.
Wow.
I conducted my own poll on Twitter.
Yes.
And it read, which former Iowa player would get your vote for the College Football Hall of Fame?
By the way, I am impressed that you can put a Twitter poll up there on the old social network
stratosphere. I am a work in progress, Scott.
Okay.
The choices were Tim Dwight, Andre Tippett, both or neither. How do you suppose that turned out, or at least until now? About a couple dozen votes, at least.
Tim Dwight.
Tim Dwight, 39%. Both, 30%. Neither 22%. Andre Tippett, 9%.
The more you're away from the game, obviously people remember you less. And I think that's what Andre Tippett was, a dominating force on the Iowa end, the rush end. And obviously he did what he did with the New England Patriots. But this has nothing to do with professional football. This is about college football.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind out there. Yeah, how would you vote on that? Let us know.
I would say neither. Because the if you look at the list, I don't think Tippett or Dwight compare. And that's nothing against Dwight. He was a two-time All-American and seventh in the Heisman Trophy balloting. And Tippett, who arguably had a better career in the pros than he did in college.
Still was good in college.
Despite the fact he was terrific in college and still holds some records. And, you know, whether either or both should be in the Hall of Fame, I guess, is not up to us to decide. But wasn't Tippett recruited by Bob Cummings? I got to get the timing of that, but I think Hayden Fry gets a lot of credit for that because Tippett was on that 81 Rose Bowl team.
Bob Cummings brought in some pretty good talent.
Some pretty good talent
at the end. At the end of his run down there through 1978, but just could not get all the ducks in a row. Played tough schedules too back then. Iowa State announced the game times for their first four games, and then another one down the line here. UNI Iowa State will be a night game. That will be in Ames on Saturday night, September the 3rd. That'll be a 7 o'clock start. That will be broadcast, of course, here on 1600 AM, also on Cyclones.tv. We knew the Iowa game was going to be a night game in Iowa City at 6:30. TCU on Saturday, September 17th, down in Fort Worth, will be an 11 o'clock start. Saturday, September 24th, likewise, against San Jose State in Ames, will also be an 11 o'clock start. And then later in the year, the night game on a Thursday, November the 3rd. Thankfully, no high school football that night. Thankfully. That's going to be a national broadcast on ESPN, and that will be a 6:30 start in Ames against the Oklahoma Sooners and Big Game Bobby as he comes up.
Kind of a typical arrangement for Iowa State. And, I mean, let's face it, TV dictates everything, and you just kind of fall in line, right?
Right, and they've also announced that the Texas game, they haven't announced the time, but it will be on the Longhorn Network. And pretty much, I know a lot of Iowa State fans were kind of upset about that on social networking here earlier today, but it's going to be Kansas or Iowa State until somebody falls, or until one of those teams gets 6-7 wins per season on a consistent basis. It's going to be, because I believe the Longhorn Network must show one conference game on that particular channel. I think that's the bylaws in there, and it's going to be Iowa State or Kansas for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not going to put Oklahoma, Texas on there, the Red River rivalry, which, by the way, is going to be on FS1 this year. A lot of Big 12 people were kind of kicking that around a little bit earlier on today. 3:18, more to get to. We're going to talk some tennis here. We're going to get you a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update as well. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit as well. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and give away our four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels on June the 9th. That's a Thursday night, June the 9th. I'm going to take care of it a little bit earlier on today. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. We're going to take caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. You're going to get a four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels take on the Kane County Cougars on Thursday night, June the 9th, Veterans Memorial Stadium. That's a Z102.9 Thirsty Thursday. 12-ounce regular draft beers, 20-ounce bottled soda and water for just $2 all game long. And we've got a four-pack to give away to one of our lucky listeners out there. We'll take caller number 6. We'll find out who our winner is. When we come back, we'll also talk some tennis with you as well, give you the results from state golf throughout the state. And we'll do that when we come back.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
Earning it comes with some great rewards. Sometimes that's a hard-earned Busch beer at the end of a long day of work. Other times that reward is the chance to win an epic fishing trip to catch sockeye salmon in Alaska, cutthroat trout in Montana, largemouth bass in Michigan, or red drum in Louisiana. If you find a gold trophy can and specially marked packs of Busch and Busch Light, check out Busch.com for more details. Busch, here's to earning it. Busch Beer 2016, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents only. Certain restrictions may apply.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back at 3:20 here on the Wednesday edition of The Gym Class, KGYM. Tomorrow, John Cranton from Gym Vice Sports in Las Vegas will be joining us. I watched a video John put out today.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
About the Pac-12 South. He was previewing that. So we will talk with John coming up on the Thursday edition of the show. We're going to talk some tennis here, preview that girls' state tournament in a moment. Let's give you the results, though, from around the state of Iowa. Girls' state golf today in Class 5A. This was played at Lake Panorama over in Panora, where they hold the Iowa Open for the Iowa pros. Cedar Falls, your team champion. Congratulations to the Tigers as they won their third one. They were led by the Bermel twins, Hannah and Haley, and Hannah finished up as the runner-up. As far as medalists are concerned, she came in 3 over today, 4 over for the tournament. Haley was 18 over for the tournament.
Anybody know the commissioner of the Valley?
I do, as a matter of fact. He's got a smile on his face a mile wide right now. Dubuque Hempstead finished 5th. Iowa City West, the Trojans, or Women of Troy, finished 6th. Dubuque Senior finished 7th, and Cedar Rapids Kennedy finished up in the 8th spot today. Sierra Harrigan's finished up her fine career with a 6-over par, 78 today, finished 14 over. She finished tied for 8th. Do you have some of the other results?
Good news for our friends in the South, Jim. A runner-up finish by Washington, Iowa in Class 4A. Fairfield prevailing in that class by 6 over the Washington Demons, but Sarah Nakos from Washington won the individual title by 2.
And Wallert finished up in 3rd right there, so congratulations to them. Good day for the Mississippi Valley Conference right there. Real quick, the others, taking a look at things, Class 3A Atlantic. Well, they're still out on the course. They're not quite done yet, but Atlantic was the leader going into today in Class 3A. So, congratulations to Cedar Falls and to Fairfield and Washington out of the Southeast Conference as they ended up 1-2, and we had an individual champion in Class 4A as well. We hope to have some tennis champions tomorrow, Randy.
Well, you know, you're talking about golf. At least they know a lot about their peers because Megan Youngken is the coach of the year in the Mississippi Valley Conference for Cedar Falls, so they must knowing ahead of time that she would have those Tigers ready to go for Class 5A state golf. So
those Bermels are pretty good, too.
Yeah, that helps to have those two on your team. Yeah, I bet they're knocking the old pill around pretty well. So.
Well, we got tennis to talk about. We had the boys last week, and congratulations to both Wash and especially the Iowa City West boys for winning the state team championship yesterday.
Yes, Mitch Gross has orchestrated 4 state champions out of 5 years out of Iowa City West and Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Coach of the Year, Rusty Graff. They ended up in 3rd place.
That Wash Valley match was very close.
Oh yeah, 5-4. Yeah. That really was that was a nail biter. Could have went either way. And then of course Wash beat Waukee then for 3rd place. So good for the Washington Warriors. And of course they're led by Jackson Hoyt and Sammy Sheets and they got a good future. They got a few kids.
So's West.
So yeah, both of them got some youth. Even though they. You know, they were rebuilding a little bit, but they're still very strong and certainly showed that. But, yeah, tomorrow the girls come and we'll spend a little more time with Class 2A today because they will be at the Veterans Memorial Tennis Center starting tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And the way the girls do it, Thursday and Friday will be the individual play. So by Friday afternoon when we're on the gym class, we'll know who the singles and double state champions are. And then Saturday is the team competition, and that is here. And we have a local team, Cedar Rapids Prairie, coached by Coach of the Year Scott Leggett for Prairie. They will be in action on Saturday. So we've got some good local flavor. And let's talk about singles first. Initially, Eve Small is gone. She's the defending state champion, but she's playing for the University of Northern Iowa now. So Lily Feldman from Pleasant Valley comes in as the number one seed. And, of course, she'll be leading Pleasant Valley in that team competition. Interestingly enough, Patterson of Boone is the number two seed. But wow, the number three seed is Chloe Jeffries. Last year, she got to the semifinals, and then very oddly, I can remember talking about this on Coach's Corner, she got really ill overnight and had a default, so yeah. Did not play in the semifinals, but she's back this year. She's actually a two-time state co-ed champion. For playing mixed doubles in the month of June. Last year, she won it with Yasha Litvak, who is still playing for Valley High School. And Chloe is the 2014 champion, so she's going to be one to be reckoned with. She has to take on Greta Lee of Fort Dodge in an opening round matchup. And then the fourth seed is Emma Cook, Mississippi Valley Conference first team all-conference selection from Iowa City West. She's the number four seed, and she will take on Carly Schill of Cedar Rapids Prairie in an opener. And then we also have a very interesting matchup that could lead into that Patterson from Boone. In the first round, Joyce Sun, she's only a freshman. I did watch her play once this year for Dubuque Hempstead, first team all Mississippi Valley Conference selection. She will take on Ellie Anderson, a very good player from Linmar High School, the number one player for the Lions, and they have to open up in a first round match. And that winner will either take on Patterson of Boone or Anna Wanek of Dowling Catholic. So that should be kind of interesting. Lily Feldman of Pleasant Valley will take on Elizabeth Messman of Waukee in the opener there. And then we have another interesting matchup out of the MAC, but still from our kind of from our area. Amelia Perruption from Bettendorf will take on Hannah Humes of Pleasant Valley. So they're going to travel all this way for a match that the two schools are about a mile and a half apart. But Humes is the sister of Charlie Humes. And, of course, Charlie won the state doubles title last weekend here. And Hannah's also brilliant in the classroom. She's going to end up going to Harvard. And Charlie is going to Johns Hopkins next year. So that's quite a family, not only talented in the classroom, but
not familiar with that league, Scott.
No, I am not.
but very very good in the classroom, too, besides the tennis court. So that should be interesting. Then as we move to doubles from our area, the number two seed is Maggie and Val Curl from Cedar Rapids Prairie, both first teamers, all conference selections. And, of course, they will lead the Prairie Hawks to the team competition on Saturday too, and Val is actually Athlete of the Year in the Mississippi division of the MVC, and so they should be real tough. But they've got a interesting opener, Innes Hicksosmus, easier said than done, but
I'm glad you're pronouncing
and Lucy,
that.
Lucy Wagner of Iowa City City High, that's their opener, and that'll be pretty tough because City High has had some really good doubles teams in the past. In fact, they've qualified two. Susanna Gianola and Biasta James are also partners from City High, so they're both involved. Gianola and James will be taking on Kaiser and Dannenfelt from Urbandale, and so City High got some tough draws, but they're very, very good, and that should be interesting. Now, one thing that's different, Jackie Cochran from Fort Dodge And she is a relative to Mr. Cochran, the AD at Cornell College. She's the 2013 champion. But last year she played out of state and kind of did the tennis camp type of thing and got her education elsewhere. But she's back at Fort Dodge High School, and she will team up with Beth Merman of Fort Dodge, and they're the number one seed there. And they will be taking on Lauren Pinchuk and Allie Pinchuk, two sisters from Dubuque Senior, in an opening round matchup. And then the number three seed, we already mentioned the Carl sisters, but the number three seed comes from Johnston, and they will open up against Ames. But from our area, we've got Washington Warriors as the number four seed. That includes Kelly King and Hannah Sherman, and both are first-team all-conference selections for the Mississippi Valley Conference, and they will take on the second doubles team, Maddie Renner and Anna Postnikob of Cedar Rapids Prairie, in their opener. So that's going to be interesting in doubles, and of course all of that starts tomorrow. And then we might mention the Class 1A.
Before you do that, real quick, we're going to get SportsCenter, and then we'll save that for after SportsCenter. How's that?
Talk back on
that's called a tease in the industry.
I'm learning all kinds of journalism around you guys.
We're going to get you a SportsCenter update coming up. We'll tell you about 1A real quick, and then maybe mention team a little bit, and then we'll get Chris Liss of RotoWire.com on as well here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Tonight, Stanley Cup Game 2, beginning at 7 o'clock, Penguins and the San Jose Sharks. This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Hunter's Ridge Golf Course in Marion. Take advantage of their Dew Sweeper special, which comes your way each Monday through Friday before 11 o'clock. More of the Gym Class coming up right after this on KGYM.
Play your next round of golf at Hunter's Ridge Golf Course. Take advantage of the Dew Sweeper special every Monday through Friday before 11 a.m. Need some practice? Nothing compares to Hunter's Ridge practice facility with a driving range, chipping green, and large putting green. Hunter's Ridge is a daily fee course just outside the city noise on the north edge of Marion. Make Hunter's Ridge Golf Course your place to play and practice. Come play where the pros play. Hunter's Ridge Golf Course in Marion.
ESPN Radio SportsCenter.
I'm Christine Lisi. Developing story. Former Baylor president Ken Starr told ESPN's Joe Shad he'll step down as chancellor in the wake of the scandal that involved sexual assault incidents in Baylor, many of them involving members of the football team. Starr, removed as president of the university last week, will remain a professor at Baylor's law school. Penguins rookie forward Brian Rust, game time decision for game two of the Stanley Cup final versus the Sharks tonight because of an upper body injury. Warriors forward Harrison Barnes told 95.7 The Game he's got no idea if he'll start the NBA Finals opener after coming off the bench in Game 7 of the West Finals. Golden State hosts Cleveland in Game 1 tomorrow. Coverage 8:30 Eastern ABC, 8 Eastern ESPN Radio. Nationals left fielder Bryce Harper not in the lineup tonight for a second straight game against the Phillies because of an injured knee. Marlins outfielder Giancarlo Stanton out the last seven games with right side soreness returns tonight versus the Pirates. Indians outfielder Marlon Byrd accepted his 162-game suspension from Major League Baseball, foregoing his right to appeal after a second positive test for PEDs.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO, go online to geico.com, or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
Russillo and Cannell here. We recently learned an interesting fact. Did you know that today's smaller engines are under so much pressure that it's like five cars resting on a space the size of a stiletto heel?
A thin layer of oil is the only thing that stops metal-to-metal contact. Fortunately, Castrol Edge is made with fluid titanium technology to maximize performance.
It's three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than Mobil 1 in the Kurt Orban test, a standard industry shear stability test. Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance.
Hey, Golic, any ideas on getting a workout working again?
It's simple, Greeny. Stop by your local GNC and ask an expert associate. Or hop on Twitter and use the hashtag AskGNC. They might suggest a protein product like GNC Amplified Whey Bolic Extreme 60 Original to increase muscle strength.
Now, how does it do that?
Your GNC expert associate can explain this and all their other great products.
And I heard they taste pretty good.
Hard to go wrong with the flavors like salted caramel.
Well, right now, all GNC protein is buy one, get one 50% off. So stop in today.
It starts with the tires. Add in the pilots.
San Francisco Tower, clear to land on 29er right.
Flight 232, clear to land 29er right.
150 sleepy passengers homeward bound. Descending through the clouds, flaps full, gear down. Runway in sight, where the rubber meets the road. And touching down, those Goodyear tires. Everything we learn making tires for commercial airliners inspires what we roll into yours. Go to Goodyear.com to find the right tire in store for you. Goodyear, more driven.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
And we are back after the bottom of the hour Sports Center, brought to you by Hunter's Ridge Golf Course in Marion. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer, Randy Krejci joining us here in studio as we preview the Girls State Tennis Tournament, which gets underway tomorrow and runs through Saturday here in Cedar Rapids. There's also the 1A going on. You can talk about that real quick. And then, Randy, preview what's coming up team-wise.
Yes, Class 1A, the top seed is from Fairfield, but the number two seed is Olivia Fain from Waterloo, Columbus. She will take on Jordan Thompson of Davis County to start with, and then Emily Jurgensen from Ballard of Huxley is the number three seed, and she will take on a player from Lamar's in her opener. The fourth seed is from Waverly-Shellrock, Chelsea Pesch, and she will face Melanie Gustafson of Sadell in the opener. Dubuque Waller did have one person qualify. Cedar Rapids Xavier had none this year in girls tennis, but Audrey Hines from Wallert will start off with Sarah Cabin of Clarinda in an opener. Class 1A doubles, the top seed, as you might expect, Waterloo Columbus. There's no school in any class that has won more doubles titles than Waterloo Columbus. It's not even close. But Lauren McManus and Taylor Hogan have the number one seed tag this time. They open up with a team from Fort Madison. This number two seed is all the way from Creston Orient Maxburg, Jenna Taylor and Allie Thompson. Third seed is from Davenport Assumption, but very good players. I do know these two girls, Elizabeth Bush and Erin McGivern. And the fourth seed is from Denison Schleswig. But they play somebody from Linn County, Mount Vernon, Josie and Wynn Vandersall. They are sisters playing for the Mount Vernon Mustangs, and they will face the number four seed from Denison Schleswig in their opener. And Decorah has a couple, doubles team in, two of them actually, Caitlin Yee and Kelsey Cruz, and Anna Spencer and Annika Krieg will be representing the Decorah Vikings in doubles. And then, as you mentioned, on Saturday, we have the team play here in town. The first semifinal, they actually both start at 9 o'clock, will be Pleasant Valley against Boone, and then Cedar Rapids Prairie. You know, at one time, Mark Dukes, in your younger days, they might have been considered kind of the doormat of the Mississippi Valley Conference, but Scott Leggett has done a phenomenal job, and it's nice to have Maggie and Val there in the top two positions. But Prairie will be in the team competition, and they will be taking on Urbandale, and that will also be at 9 o'clock. And then up at Burns Park, which is the site of the 1A's Waterloo Columbus and Comanche Tangle, they've been around for quite a while, two tough teams. And then Decorah faces loses that upstart, Creston Orient Maxburg, in the other semifinal. And all this, all the team play will be on Saturday. And that's just like a regular dual meet. Probably the only thing that's really different, they just play that no ads scoring system. So it goes a little bit quicker. But so the individual championships will all be decided by Friday afternoon. And then Saturday, we'll know the best teams in the state of Iowa for girls tennis. So some heavy action over the next 3 days, and it would be nice to join you on the gym class and maybe eventually Coach's Corner on Saturday morning, and we can review what has really happened rather than just talk about the
all noise. At Vets Tennis Center, right?
Yes, everything's okay. At Vets Tennis Center. Even what we do there, because there's only 12 courts, ideally it'd be nice to have 16 like they have in Burns Park and in Waterloo, but we put 12 matches out right away, 4 matches and singles wait until the courts open up, but we have everything at the tennis center, and that really makes the venue seem more like a state tournament venue. So that works out pretty well, and even though a few kids have to wait just a little bit to get on the courts, it still works out very well. Mm-hmm. Coaches appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Randy. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great time on the gym class.
All right. Randy Krejci, the commissioner of the Mississippi Valley Conference, joining us here, and also the administrator for state tennis for the team and the individuals. All right. We're going to take a break. Come back. Chris List, rotowire.com to join us. Your questions are welcome at 319-366-1600. Back after this.
When does 60 mean 35? When it's McDonald Optical's 60th anniversary sale, because you'll save 35% on glasses. Now through Tuesday, save 35% on every complete pair of glasses at both McDonald Optical locations. It's glasses, it's sunglasses, it's 35% savings, and it's 60 years of no gimmicks and great value to help you see your world more clearly. Woohoo! Save 35% on complete pairs of glasses at McDonald Optical, downtown and in the Iowa City Marketplace.
For the first time in 12 years, the Colonels are hosting the Midwest League All-Star Game this June 21st. This midseason classic will bring the top players in the Midwest League to Cedar Rapids to battle for league supremacy. Tickets are on sale now for this game, and fans are encouraged to buy early as this game is sure to sell out. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now and experience Midwest League All-Star Game action Tuesday, June 21st at Veterans Memorial Stadium, sponsored by Go Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Hear that? That's the sound of freedom, a sound you'll hear a lot more when you work for PMX Industries. They're based in Cedar Rapids and have full-time positions available right now. At PMX, you'll work 3 and 4 day weeks, which means more freedom to do the things that make you happy. Learn more at the job fair Wednesday, June 8th from 3 to 7 p.m. at PMX, 5300 Willow Creek Drive in Cedar Rapids. Fill out an application before the event at ipmx.com.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
All right, thanks to Randy Krejci for stopping by. We are attempting to hook up with Chris List of rotowire.com and talk with him about the world of fantasy baseball, fantasy football, and whatnot. Of course, today, a little bit of a bombshell dropped in the world of Major League Baseball. Marlon Byrd, second suspension for PEDs, and he is going to be out for the equivalency of a season. That's 162 games. He came out with a statement today via the social network, said that he did not intentionally take anything that is on the list of banned substances, but apparently one of the things he did take was, in his words, tainted with one of the drugs that is on the banned list. So he admits to it. He is not going to appeal this. He also says that this is going to be it. His Major League Baseball career is done. But Mark Dukes, as we were talking about in the sports office before we went on the air, he's $39 million richer because of this. Should there be a monetary penalty with this as well? I leave that up to your sage thinking.
Well, how about you out there? Would you accept a suspension in exchange for $39 million? Of course you would.
If you have $39
million... But your reputation forever is tarnished.
Yeah, in your pocket. That's a good consolation prize. But what if there was a monetary fee? What if there was a penalty? okay, it's going to cost you $10 million. Well, I still got $29
million. If you're suspended for a year's pay.
True. True. You're just going to play for free at that time. But your thoughts.
He's 38, he's done.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. A lot of people in the, a couple teams have said he's done before that. 319-366-1600. If you want to let us know what you think on the Guppies on the Go text line, you want to call in as well as we try to hook up with Chrisless of RotoWire.com. I told you about some Iowa State football starting times. NFL has announced the Pro Bowl is moving to Orlando. Yay. And it'll be the AFC versus the NFC again. We will not have the draft of teams like it would be for, say, a fantasy league or you know, playing dodgeball or whatever the case may be. So that is going to be in Orlando. And also the first of the reports for the Major League All-Star Game and the rosters has been released, I guess I should say, by Major League Baseball. We got the American League yesterday, which I believe there are four Kansas City Royals. And then today, the National League. If you like Royals versus Cubs, this is going to be your All-Star Game, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe five, if not six, Cubs are going to be more than likely starting in the All-Star Game. Anthony Rizzo at first base. He's got a big lead. Ben Zobrist at second base has got a huge lead. Addison Russell leads at short. Chris Bryant leads at third. Dexter Fowler is second in outfield voting right now. Jorge Soler is fifth in outfield voting right now. And this has been debated a million times between everybody out there, whether you're a baseball expert or a non-baseball expert or just a casual fan. Should it be the fans voting? It's an exhibition game, but it counts. It's the World Series. I mean, we could do this all over again, but it's not going to change, I guess, with Rob Manfred right now. It doesn't sound like, anyway.
No, it doesn't. But the way the Cubs have been playing, I can understand why they're getting so many votes, not only for Chicagoans, but all around the country. This is if it's not America's team, it's pretty close because it has a fan following in far reaches of the country. So I guess I'm not surprised at all about the leaders.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah.
I am not. And the Royals last year, of course, were accused of stuffing the ballot box, if you will, as best they could. And when the Cubs are going great guns like they are this year, even though they came up a little bit short and making Major League Baseball history last night with Jake Arrieta, you know, you're still going to have a lot of Cubs out there.
Here's your National League leaders right now in the All-Star voting. Yadi Molina of the Cardinals leading at catcher over Buster Posey. Miguel Montero third from the Cubs. First base Anthony Rizzo has about a 600,000 vote lead over Brandon Belt from the Giants. Ben Zobrist having a great year for the Cubs, leading at second base.
He should be leading at second base.
Yeah, about 250,000 votes over Daniel Murphy. Leads the National League in batting average, I believe. Third base Chris Bryant. Excuse me. My computer just
froze.
Chris Bryant, about less than a 200,000 lead over Nolan Arenado from the Rockies, who I think leads in, if not both, home runs and RBIs in the National League. Addison Russell of the Cubs, neck and neck with Trevor Story of the Rockies, having a heck of a year. Cabrera from the Mets, about 200,000 behind. And then in the outfield, your three starters at this point, anyway, are Harper, Fowler, and Cespedes.
It's a pretty good outfield.
Fowler from the Cubs, and as you mentioned, Soler, sixth right now.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. If you have a question for Chris Liss of rotowire.com, who's going to join us right now here at 347 on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, Scott?
I'm doing better than Marlon Byrd is today. How's that?
No, you're not. I bet that guy's in great shape now.
He's got $39 million.
Yeah, he's probably in pretty good physical shape too. Those steroids really work.
So you're not buying the whole explanation of Marlon Byrd today that he had unwillingly took something that had one of the banned substances on there. Didn't know, but he did take responsibility, and he's not going to appeal this thing.
Yeah, the guy had a power peak from age like 34 to 39, right? I mean, you know, he was like a perfect steroid candidate, and he got his money's worth out of him, and no one's going to really resent him. He didn't win MVP. He didn't hit a big home run in the World Series. You know, it's kind of like he did what he needed to do to make another, 30, 40 million bucks, and got busted. It's like, okay, everyone understands why I did it. I mean, I don't think steroids are great for baseball, but it's hard to put a lot of blame on Marlon Byrd.
319-366-1600 is our phone and text line if you have questions for Chris Liss. Chris, I want to go to football first. And being a Bears fan, this is a natural for me, but I think it has some fantasy impact without a doubt. Kevin White sitting out last year by injury. Maybe the number two beside Jeffrey this year in the Bears lineup. How do you evaluate and put a fantasy price tag on a guy who has sat out and is still a rookie?
I like him. I mean, he's big and fast. He was drafted very early in the first round. The Bears lost Martellus Bennett. They lost Matt Forte. They got Jeffrey. Jeffrey's hurt a lot. I mean, Jeffrey's really good when he's out there. But, you know, Cutler's not a great QB, but when he's good enough to create fantasy points for his receivers, and he usually has a pretty narrow tree. Like when it was Marshall, Jeffrey, Bennett, and Forte, that was it. They didn't throw to anybody else. So he's in a great spot to have a big year. Yeah. And, you know, he's kind of a rookie, kind of a second-year guy because he did, you know, observe and pick up the offense and study film and all that. So he's not as green as a rookie. He knows his teammates. He's been around with the team. So I have him, you know, I think probably like the 28th to 33rd receiver somewhere in there. I got to look up the exact number, but I'm definitely going to have some shares of Ken White.
Hmm. Well, the bigger year White has, the bigger year you got to think Alshon Jeffrey's going to have, because obviously he's not going to get the double teams that he has seen in last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll still probably double-team Jeffrey, you know, until White really breaks out, which could be soon. But they're not going to be able to sell out to just stop Jeffrey. I mean, they have another guy who's big and fast and really kind of a matchup problem for DBs. I mean, Kevin White may be bigger and faster than Jeffrey. So it's a good situation for both.
Everything I read at RotoWire and elsewhere, Chris, they're predictions are very few breakout rookies aside from Zeke Elliott. Maybe Goff, maybe a couple wide receivers. Am I on target there?
Yeah, there's nobody I've ranked that highly. I mean, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott is pretty high. And then besides that, you know, QBs, you don't really want to mess with a rookie QB unless you're in a 2QB league. I'm looking at, you know, Corey Coleman's my top rookie receiver, and he's 37th. I have the Giants guy, Sterling Shepard, at 47. So it's, you know, there's not really anyone getting into a great situation. The problem for Coleman, he could be the number one guy, but it's Cleveland, it's RG3 probably, it's his QB. There's not, you know, most of the guys are in kind of bad situations. Sterling Shepard really has upside if Victor Cruz ends up not making it back, because Victor Cruz is still kind of being eased into practice. So if he were the number two opposite Beckham, he'd be in a sort of Kevin White situation. Now, he's not the athlete Kevin White is, but he's a little bit like Beckham. He's quick and fast and can jump, and, you know, for a small guy, he's pretty good.
319-366-1600. If you have a question, football or baseball, heck, for basketball as well, as we're down to the NBA Finals here, you can let us know with Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. And, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple on the text line for you, Chris. 8532. I have Gregory Polanco. Has he taken the next step, or should I sell him now?
I mean, you know, whenever anyone asks, should I sell him, it should be, you know, what can you get? Because it really depends. Of course, anybody should be available, but he is legit. I mean, just forget about the 8 homers and 7 steals, 36 ribbies, 38 runs, .310 batting average. He's pretty good. He's a 5-category guy. He's a little bit like, you know, Lorenzo Cain or someone like that, maybe even develops a little more power than that. But this is a legitimate player. I wouldn't, you know, I would sell him if someone wants to give me, you know, Noah Syndergaard for him or something. But otherwise, no, I would hold him.
Fresh from Marion, who are the three biggest fantasy baseball busts so far this season? based on your preseason rankings?
There's a lot of them, but I'll mention a few that are on my teams. Puig, Prince Fielder, Justin Upton, Carlos Gomez. Give you a few more pitchers. Chris Archer, Dallas Keuchel. Matt Harvey had one good start, but still been pretty ugly overall. Adam Wainwright's been a disaster. Sonny Gray's now hurt, and he was a total disaster. So those are some of the busts, some of the bigger ones.
I think you can even put Abreu in there a little bit.
How's he doing? I don't have any shares of him. What's he done? Not much?
Not a lot. About 240 batting average.
Almost 27 ribbies. Yeah, he's a bust, but he's healthy, and I don't see anything fundamentally wrong with him. I think he'll hit like 6 home runs in a week one of these weeks, and then he'll be back on track.
True. That could happen. Speaking of that, Todd Frazier hit his Major League leading 17th earlier today at Citi Field. He's having a Todd Frazier type year, about 225 with the batting average with 17 home runs. So that's what you're going to get from Todd Frazier.
Funny, I don't have any shares of him, and I wasn't really big on him, but it is a good park. I mean, he came from a good park, and he went to a good park. And, yeah, the batting average is going to be an issue, but he's walked more this year. He's 25 walks already. It's a good sign. And stolen 5 bags, 16 homers. He had 17th today. That's pretty useful. 32 runs scored, 37 ribbies. So he's been, he's a four-category guy, but he actually actively hurts you in batting average.
Big-time offense in Boston. David Ortiz at age 40, leading the league in RBIs, top 5 in average and home runs. Did you opt out on him, or did you like Big Poppy?
I have a share of him, and I'm really annoyed because in my highest-stakes league, at the 8-9 turn, I was picking first, so I picked at the corner. The 8-9 turn, I was targeting Ortiz, so that I thought I was hoping would fall to me. But then Prince Fielder unexpectedly fell to me, so I took him instead. So I have been one league, but my highest-stakes league, I really should have had Ortiz, but I got lucky that Prince Fielder fell, and that was my undoing.
Bogart's hitting .350, but maybe it shouldn't be a big surprise because he was at .320 last year.
Yeah, he looks like the real thing. I mean, batting average takes a couple of years to stabilize where you really know it's a guy's batting average is legit. Same thing, Miguel Cabrera, he does it every year, so you're like, okay, this guy's a .320-plus hitter. Bogart's is getting to the territory. We've got now, 830 at-bats since the start of last year and hitting, about .325, .330 over that span. So it's starting to get real that, this is his level.
And the text line wants you to rank Jose Fernandez from Miami, knowing that the starting pitching is very deep in the National League.
I mean, he's an ace, but the only issue you're going to have with him is they may shut him down at the end of the year. He looks totally back, 96 Ks and 67 and two-thirds. Mm-hmm. That is monstrous. His command could be a little better, 25 walks, but only 4 home runs allowed, so he's not getting hit hard at all. Really, the walks are the only negative, and then the fact that he may only make 28 to 30 starts instead of 33, because he'll be on an innings limit. But, man, if you can get – you're going to get another 100 strikeouts easy. You're going to get another 120 before they shut him down. So he's one of the top 3 or 4 pitchers in all of baseball right now.
Hey, before we let you go, we were kicking this around in the sports office. Who do you think is the best 1-2 starting pitching combination in baseball?
That's a good question. I would probably say Strasburg Scherzer is up there. Kershaw and anybody, right?
That's what Kershaw.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, pick whoever you want to be their number two. Kershaw, Maeda. Who else are you guys talking about?
Arrieta, Lester.
DeGrom.
Yeah. Quintana and Sale.
Yeah. Quintana slipped a little. He was great the first 8 or so outings. Who else? Who else do you like? Who else are you even considering?
We put Baumgartner and Cueto in there as well.
Baumgartner and Cueto is very good. They really, those two benefit from the park a whole lot with their pitching.
Arrieta, Lester.
Yep, that's right there too. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think you really put one.
How about Price and Stephen Wright? You see that knuckleball he threw on the GIF on Twitter where he moved 3 times and the guy missed by a foot?
Well, I'd miss by 2 feet, so I give him a lot of credit right there.
No, it's not in Alaska and Duffy, so.
It's not in Alaska. Yeah, the Twins don't have it.
No. Or not even Hughes in Alaska.
Jose Barrios.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let us know here in about the final minute what you guys have at rotowire.com and how people can take advantage of the product.
Yeah, definitely. You can check out all of this, our stuff, rotowire.com/trial. It is a free 10 days. You don't need a credit card. Every bit of breaking news, football rankings and projections for the season, cheat sheets, sleepers and busts, all that stuff. Again, rotowire.com/trial.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
all right, you bet. Chris List joining us. We got a poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Up.
Indeed, KGYMRadio.com. You might have heard Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban at loggerheads and social media over satellite camps. We ask you, who is the most polarizing coach in college football? Four choices: Jim Harbaugh, Nick Saban, Brett Bielema, or Urban Meyer.
They're going to talk about that on the APC. John Krant will join us on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class Stanley Cup Hockey Tonight, KGYM.
Napa know-how!
You don't need an air-conditioned steering wheel or high-performance supercharger to use Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil. Now just $5.99 a quart at Napa. Mobil 1 offers premium protection.